Everybody ready? Okay, we're going to reconvene the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting and immediately recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Item number 15, discussion and possible action, approval of Resolution 15-431, approving portal-to-portal payment for CFAA mutual aid request. Two things.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The CFAA is a five-party agreement between federal parties, U.S. Forest Service, BLM, California Office of Emergency Services, CAL FIRE, and then local governments. We have an agreement that's been longstanding for the past 15 years with them. In that agreement, it allows and actually promotes portal-to-portal payments because of the way they staff on their fire assignments. This is all relating to mutual aid outside of the area over to California. The agreement's always said it's portal-to-portal so that they can run our crews 24 hours a day on these fire incidents. This is the only agreement that we have in place that's portal-to-portal. This past year, they've come out and said that outside of the agreement, we also have to have a resolution supporting that same language. So that's what this is. Mr. Loomis from the District Attorney's Office has vetted this and given approval and concurrence.
Great.
So as I understand, there's no financial impact here. The agreements are already in place. California has asked us to address an ordinance for them to satisfy their appetite.
Correct. It's no change or departure from past practices in the way which we've always operated with them. They just require this resolution now.
This resolution, not ordinance.
So. Yep.
Yeah. Commissioner McGuffey, do you have questions on this?
Just out of curiosity, is there like mutual fees involved? Like when we send a truck and a crew over, do we charge what we normally, we charge ourselves basically, or do we get paid California rate, you know what I'm talking about? What if California comes here, do we have to pay their rate?
We do. It's a reciprocal agreement. If we were to call California Office of Emergency Services or CAL FIRE or any of the A2 aircraft or anything, it would be a reciprocal. It's all broken down within the agreement that's been signed for, I want to say it came in 2000, my first year as fire chief. So, but that is all spelled out. It's negotiated each year, and it really doesn't change much unless you have a personnel amortization change in hourly rates. But again, it's exactly the same thing we've done for 15 years, except now they require a resolution. And I really wish I had like some great reason that they require a resolution. I stopped at number five person in the chain of command of asking why we need this, and then just decided to put on the resolution on the agenda because it was I couldn't get a real answer as to why we need a resolution supporting what the longstanding agreement already says.
Is there any public comment on this? Hearing none. A motion for approval.
I'll move to approve the resolution number 15-431, approving portal payment for CFAA mutual aid requests.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved to second to approve resolution 15-431. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Going to adjourn as the Fire Protection District Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Item number 16 has been continued until November the 2nd. Next item up is going to be item number 20. We're going to move 20 up between 16 and 17. This is discussion of possible action. Request by Don Gilman for the assistance in reference to ad hoc rulemaking. Mr. Gilman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It's known and clear that I have a pecuniary interest in the business operations that will include items 17, 18, 19, and 20 on the agenda. And for that reason, I'm going to recuse myself from discussions and/or voting on the issue.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I'm going to join the audience.
Very good. All right, Donnie Gilman.
Yes, Donnie Gilman, for the record, licensed manager of the Mustang Ranch. I'm here before you at the sheriff's request for help in regarding some of the work card issues that we are having. Some of the issues that we are having is ad hoc rule changes without notice or written notice of what is expected of us on our applications. And some examples of that is when we first started applying for work cards for our workers, it was to list all convictions within the last 10 years. That has progressed to all arrests and convictions in the past 10 years, which then progressed to all arrests and convictions of your adult life, which then progressed one step further to include all of your arrests as a minor. And this has been in progression since our facility has been open. Again, nothing has ever been put in writing to us telling us what actually needs to be in this application. And I cannot find a definition of criminal record in Story counties. Every county is different. I've looked at several different counties on what is required of a criminal record, and nothing was the same in any county. Again, all of these changes were verbal from the sheriff's staff. When I asked to have these things put in writing and sent to us, we were denied that to be put in writing and sent to us. I have never received anything in the mail addressed to me as the manager of the Mustang Ranch, nor on an email. This has resulted in some issues where some of our people have forgotten or not realized what they actually had to put on their record, which has caused a ban for life from applying for a work card and a refusal from the sheriff's office to accept a corrected application. So if you forget to put something on your application that is in your criminal record, and you don't get in front of the commission within 30 days, you may never, ever apply for a work card in the Story County again. I don't believe that that is in the ordinance. I can't find anything that regulates that, and I would ask that the commission look into this issue. Also, regarding renewals on work cards, when you have a work card already approved and you have worked for us, as these three have for several years, it seems to me that it's very difficult for them to remember every single arrest that they may have had in their background, especially as these rules changes of what you're actually supposed to put on your application. If you've applied for a work card and you've listed everything and been approved for several years, and then you forget to put something, you're automatically denied a work card, and then you have to go in front of the board. If the sheriff's office has this information already in a file on these people that have worked for us for several years, I don't understand why a memory test has to be made of putting everything on your record again when you've already been approved for previous years. I would ask that we come up with something in the ordinance that would prevent this from happening from here on out. In closing, I'm here with three workers that have recently been denied work cards and the right to reapply with a corrected work card application, as each of them did forget to put something on their record, none of which would deny them from getting a work card or being approved for a work card. I would ask that you move to approve their work cards so that they may start work again. All of them have families. All of them provide for their children, families, and to hold this off and keep them from working any further will be a tragedy.
I think he's talking about their items. I was just going to say that really addresses the three other items, 17, 18, and 19, are the appeal of the work cards
yes,
for
sir.
Those people. And so what we should do is keep to number 20, which is
the ad hoc
rulemaking
okay.
request. So just to keep everybody on the same page,
yes, sir.
If we could just stay with that one first.
You know, I also believe, and I've consulted with Council Morris, this is a combination of both brothel licensing board and public commission, so it would be appropriate to have Sheriff Antonoro join us at the table as he did for the liquor licensing.
And if it's okay, Mr. Chairman, I was going to give you a little background on this issue. As you may well recall, we did do a rework of the brothel ordinance earlier this year, and there was a working group that spent quite a bit of time discussing issues that had been raised and how to actually deal with them. And I do recall this specific issue coming up, and I have to say there's two sections of the code that have something to do with it, and it's basically the section on work cards, and it says the sheriff must investigate through all available means the accuracy of all information supplied by any applicant on the registration form, and that the sheriff may issue a work permit after investigation and determination the applicant has meets the work permit requirements. And I remember there was a lot of discussion about this, but the problem that came up that was not able to be dealt with was there are so many variations on use of discretion that it was impossible to put it into the code to say, okay, sheriff, this is how you must use your discretion in issuing work cards. And the position of Bill Maddox at the time when we initiated this, and I believe it's the sheriff, and is that the alternative to having the discretion laid out in the code would be to leave it as it is or to take away the discretion of the sheriff. And that was what Mr. Maddox and I believe the sheriff proposed as the preferred alternative, was just to take away that discretion. So after this discussion, it was determined that we would leave the code the way it is, knowing that the sheriff, as the administrator of the work cards, has discretion in the issuance of work permits. And so the issue has come up again, but as I said, there are basically three alternatives in writing code on this, and one would be to take away his discretion, second is to leave it the way it is, and third is to put in a lot of text about how the sheriff is to use his discretion, which I think is pretty ineffectual. And so what we were left with was what's in the code today.
I can throw out a couple of clarifications on what Mr. Gilman offers. There has been no change in the standard. The form simply states, and has said since I've taken over as sheriff 5 years ago, have you ever been arrested? List all arrests and convictions, period. That's it. That's all it said. And subsequent conversation with Don, he said that the brothel keeps records, and that they would double-check when there was renewals or submissions, if it was something they had previously had, they would try to do a stopgap on it to make sure that everything gets clarified. Because we specifically discussed the sheriff's office being a clearinghouse for that. It's really not our place to track what their employees do or don't do from one year to the next. We check the criminal backgrounds, do the investigations, and that's the end of it. Just to give you a little bit of an idea, since January 1st, we've processed 142 work cards. There's been 23 revocations, and 8 of which were allowed to come and reapply. Of those other 23 who did not, for whatever reason, they chose not to reapply, or else I believe there was one or two who previously came before the commission, and there was no problems with them. The issues that are here today, we'll talk about those when they get there, but these are extreme measures. The general process is that if they're a new card, if it's something that clearly was an oversight, then yes, we allow them to reapply. But as it stands, I've got three administrative staff right now. Collectively, they spend about 40% of their time working solely on brothel issues, between issuance of cards, reviewing of backgrounds, things like that. So when you break that down into hours, your tax dollars are paying for probably about 2,000 hours of work each year solely for the brothel. So to say that I'm not trying to work with them is a little bit silly. We could do a lot less. And yes, by all means, take away my discretion. They can come in, they can be fingerprinted, and then go to work as soon as the background check is done, so there is no question. These are temporary cards that we are talking about.
I don't think I'm asking to take away the sheriff's discretion. All I'm asking is that with these ad hoc rule changes, when now we are supposed to add what you were arrested for as a minor, that has never been a process in as many years as I have worked there. And so that is a new issue that was not approved by the licensing board, but approved by the sheriff's office, which is fine. I'm willing to deal with that. However, having it in writing and being prepared to be able to submit those things is what I need to know. If I don't know it needs to be done, but I'm being denied because somebody didn't put something on their minor record, it's a little harsh to take away their work card when we didn't know that that's what we had to do, and it was never put in writing and sent to us.
Like I said, it says on the form, all arrests and convictions, how that's being interpreted. If there's a problem with that, Donnie, you know you can pick up the phone and talk.
And you and I did have a conversation at your desk in your office. And you're
stated about minor convictions, anything else. This is the first time hearing about minor violations.
As a minor?
Yes.
Okay, and so when I called your office and talked to Brandy and I asked her to get in touch with you, she has gone to you to get an answer for me and come back to me, which, again, sir, is why I've asked to have it sent to me in writing so I know it came from your desk.
You know my phone number, that's all I can say.
And I've called it, but I call your office. I don't want to blow up your cell phone with these types of issues, which is why I've called the office.
Hold on, Donnie.
Excuse me. The form has been the same as...
It's been the same since I took office.
So where did the child, the minor issue come about?
Again, we've never had to do that in the history of having the brothel. This is just something that, again, was an ad hoc change, an understanding of what the criminal record should be, but with no notice to us.
What was the ad hoc change? I mean, it's not on the form.
As far as like,
are you just talking
as far as like when you're a minor, John, you're on your record when you're an adult for a year and a half.
So John Michael Mendoza has said that that's been in effect for a year and a half. So again, that was a change that was made a year and a half ago, and again, was never brought to our attention.
First of all, a juvenile matter is a quasi-criminal matter, meaning that there really is not a conviction that you have as an adult. Further, juvenile records are confidential, so putting any of that information down, number one, is not a criminal matter, it's a quasi-criminal matter. There's a different standard, there's a different approach, and the reality is that is confidential information. So, Sheriff, you were saying something that you were not considering a minor record in...
No, what I said is last time I checked, I was the sheriff, not John Michael Mendoza. And I can only think in recent history of a single incident where it showed a criminal record for a juvenile. And that was someone who had been certified as an adult at the time of that trial. It does not, criminal histories, as a general rule, don't even show juvenile convictions.
That's correct. That's correct. I almost said Your Honor, but no, don't take that one either.
I do want to point out also, the sheriff brought up the taxpayers' dollars that are put towards these issues. We do pay a fee to have these applications run. In the past, if somebody made a mistake, we would then go and reapply with another application and pay another fee so that it was not costing the taxpayers nor the sheriff's office the time or money, well, time, the money, to run these records.
So, as I'm looking at this, Donnie, so what type of assistance are you looking at? If the application says list all arrests and convictions.
So I think what I would like, if possible, is a definition of that in our application. And here's why. When we look at this application and it's saying to write all of these things down, the very next page is a questionnaire of Story County Brothel work permit questionnaire. And all it bases is any of the arrests that you had within the misdemeanor possession use of controlled substance in 3 years, embezzlement in 3 years, violent crimes or deadly or dangerous weapon forever. Petty theft or shoplifting in the past 1 year, drug-related felonies within the past 10 years. I believe a reasonable person filling this questionnaire out based on a 10-year background check would list what has happened in their background in the last 10 years and not put things down when they were a minor, or if someone was 50 years old working for me that got a ticket when they were 18 years old for jaywalking, why would they have to put that on this application? And so I would just like to try to slim down what the meaning is of this for the brothel and for our workers.
I'll offer and confirm this from our working group. The list that Donnie was reading from just now, those are things that I am going to take as automatic disqualifiers if they are within those times, those sections. That's a questionnaire. The application itself says lists all arrests and convictions, which plain language, basically during the time you've been an adult.
Does that mean as a minor as well?
No, you wouldn't have a minor applying for filling out the application.
But what's happened to them as a minor?
Right.
I would suggest that just what I said, if they were certified as an adult, that will be on their criminal history. If they were not certified as an adult, it's handled through the juvenile courts or some kind of a deferment program, it's not going to show up on a criminal history.
That's correct. Yes.
We have had specific people denied a work card for not listing things that they had happened to them as a minor. So that contradicts what the sheriff is saying today. I would have
those,
to go back.
Are any of those listed on your on today's agenda?
What's that?
Are any of those denials listed today from their
yes.
juvenile issues?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll hear that in a minute.
Do you want her to stand up and talk?
We're not there yet.
Okay.
We're still on number 20.
Might I suggest that This is a general request for a change in the way work cards are administered, and one possibility is changing the ordinance to be more specific about how the sheriff uses his discretion in allowing somebody to reapply. That's something that would require an ordinance. So I'm not sure that the board can actually take any action today. You could give direction that you might want staff to look at it to see if there's a possibility of coming up with amendments that satisfy both sides and come back with that. So I'm not sure that there's anything in front of the board you can take action on except to give direction to staff.
Okay, I've got a question for the sheriff. So in the event of an omission on the work card application, if there's an omission, is this a lifetime ban on getting a work card?
Nothing in the ordinance that addresses lifetime bans. I have gotten to the point on several circumstances where we have these continued failures to disclose that they are told they're giving it in writing saying to follow the ordinance and appeal the decision to the Board of County Commission. That's exactly what the ordinance says. That's what's been exercised.
Okay.
Sure. Was there a ban? Have you issued ban?
No, that's been thrown out there several times. There is no such thing as a ban. If somebody comes in and they fail to disclose, there's a problem with their application, and it's revoked, like I said, in several instances, many instances, when it's clearly an oversight, they've been allowed to reapply. And yes, pay the extra fee and go through the process, doing the full disclosure, and then they get their card. In the instances that are continual failures of this nature, I refuse to accept a new application, and I tell them to follow the ordinance, to go back to you, take it before the board. There's nothing that says I have to accept a second application. I could tell them right from the get-go, take it to the board. You'd be hearing a lot more of this.
So, I'm going to suggest that the staff get with Mr. Morris and the sheriff and see if there's something that needs to be tweaked along those lines. I don't know if we need to draft a new ordinance or anything, but maybe we can just work on what we've got. Maybe it has to be specific on the application that, you know, from your date of birth, your birthday at 18, or if you were convicted as a juvenile as an adult. I mean, if it has to be specific, then maybe it has to be specific.
Yeah, the application basically is not really governed by the ordinance other than the questionnaire.
Correct.
Your call on this, if you'd like, maybe we can work on just clarifying that particular item. Okay. We'll clarify that.
So are the denials based on the questionnaire and the application or application?
The questionnaire, if there's an affirmative answer on the specific questions asked, that will be a denial. And if they want to proceed, then they would have to come to you to ask for additional considerations. On the application, a failure to disclose can lead to a denial or a revocation, which, again, they would have to come back before this board if it was one of these repetitive things.
Often are they required to renew?
Yearly.
So they have to fill out this form, all these forms, all over, application and the questionnaire?
Yes.
Let me see if there's any public comment on this. Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, board members, Madam District Attorney, and Mr. Assistant District Attorney, My name's Chris Thompson. I'm the project manager at TRI. I've been asked by the controlling interest at TRI of Mr. Roger Norman, who's here in the audience today, to offer a comment on this matter. It is frequently the case that if a business at TRI is encountering procedures or penalties applied on that business or its workers, that we look into it, and this appears to be one of those cases. Because of the nature of the issue here, I've just asked for a little possible leeway up on the clock if we get to that point, if the chair finds my comments appropriate. First off, we're concerned about whether the questionnaire, the basis of the questionnaire, is called for in the county code. If you look at the county code, and I'm looking at section 15.16.220, sub B, sub 5, this is where it lists things that must be in the questionnaire. It doesn't provide authority or discretion, at least in its terms, to add new things or other things on the questionnaire. Subsection 5 says, quote, a complete criminal record of the worker, including all convictions except minor traffic violations. Such list to include a statement of each offense, the place of its occurrence, and the date of its occurrence. There's nothing in that section that talks about a list of arrests. A complete criminal record, I think most lay people would look at that and say, if you're arrested, that doesn't make you a criminal. I happened to look it up on the internet yesterday, just under general dictionaries, and definitions of what is a criminal record and what isn't are all over the place, but it's certainly not specified here. It does mention including all convictions, but nothing in here talks about an arrest record. So if you're a lay person, an applicant reading this, that would be an issue in terms of understanding what's being asked for. You heard earlier the comment was made that if there was a feeling that there were too many mistakes or mistakes on consecutive or separate applications, that the applicant is told by the staff that no further applications will be accepted from you. They're not given a penalty period. They're not told, come back in 2 weeks, come back in 30 days. They're told no more applications will be accepted, corrected or not. And it says in here, at least the way the code reads, I believe, is that a work card application may be denied, but I don't see anything in this code that says that anyone has the authority to tell an applicant you can never file another application ever to work in this county. I don't see it. I don't see that in the code. There's another issue on the denials here. There seems to be a thought here that if they fail to list arrest or convictions, that for any reason that failure to list them is grounds for a denial of the work card. And that's not true. If you look at the grounds for denial that are all very specific, and now I'm looking at sub F, sub 6, sub F, sub 6, it says, quote, willfully making any false statement or omission in the registration form. Willfully. As far as I know, there's no authority in the absence of a finding of a willful omission for someone to make a mistake, for someone to leave it off without a finding is not grounds by itself. So there's no ban for life. There's nothing in here saying that simply missing out on filling out your application properly is a grounds for appeal. And I believe, that just having looked into it, you have one of those letters, sample letters. Let's see what the letters say. Do the letters say willful failure or willful omission of information? You are hereby notified that your temporary brothel work permit card has been revoked for failure to disclose criminal conduct. It doesn't say willful failure. There's no finding of willfulness. It's simply for failing to list it. I submit that this is not in accordance with the code. So you have a number of things here that are being applied to this particular business that don't seem to be, you know, specific in the code. And I suppose one could say, well, we have some discretion here. The objective is to keep unsavory characters from coming into these businesses. We have to give a little bit of leeway, but it seems like this is stretching each one of these sections somewhat over the line. I inquired of this business also about some history here, and I think the numbers I've heard are somewhere between 150 and 200 current work cards active with this business. Over the years, in 15 years, probably around 2,500 to 3,000 work cards have been applied for. As far as I know, and I'm sure someone can correct me if I'm wrong, out of those 2,500 to 3,000 work cards, never one person has been found connected to organized crime or drug cartels, which was kind of the original reason for work cards in gaming and in this industry. And I know there's different reasons in there, drug convictions, weapons convictions, fraud convictions. Those are all, you know, valid reasons. But as far as I know, the vast majority of the cases, at least according to what the business told me, have come up for failing to list arrests, failing to list convictions on other matters that were remote in time. And it just seems this is an area that we could certainly look at. This business, this particular business, is a good corporate citizen in terms of taxpayer money being spent to fund this process. Each of the applicants pays $72 per application for the privilege of having this review. This business pays the county between $150,000 and $200,000 a year in license, fees, and taxes. They certainly pay their way. The business, as I understand it, pays tens of thousands of years in charitable work for the needy here in this family. That's from revenue developed by applicants for these work cards like these folks. My last comment, just, you know, and perhaps I'm a little more sensitive on this given my life history, but, you know, we all make mistakes in life. We all make bad decisions. And those of you that know my history, I'm certainly Exhibit A in many respects. And the drasticness of these, not only the card being denied, but in some cases, as I understand cases today, these people, they were revoked while on the job, having worked several years, having a payroll depending on this, and revoked during the middle of a work year, being sent home and having a conversation with your wife, with your husband, with your daughter about just what happened to you at work. What do we have to do with the paycheck? This seems a heavy price to pay. This seems, you know, perhaps a larger penalty than I think any of this might warrant. And I'd ask for the human element of this to be kept in mind. But, for, you know, we always bemoan in our society people that are feeding at the public trough. They get public assistance. They take public welfare. They're able-bodied. They don't want a job. They don't want to work. And in cases like these, you have people, not only are they paying a day's wages, $72, before they start work in order to get permission to work, but they're coming in here to these hearings asking for permission to work. And I think above perhaps everything else that speaks to their character. So I just think, you know, I've always been told Story County is a compassionate county. It's a warm county. It's a loving county. One of the reasons that convinced me to come up here for a new start in many ways. And I just ask that whatever your decision today, thank you. And some humanity here would be good. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
I guess, you know, one of the things I'd like, you know, you seem to be looking to staff and council, and the elected here that's charged with enforcing those parts of the ordinance. You know, I guess I'd ask specifically from Donnie, perhaps of Chris as well, because you're eloquent at you know, speaking out. Specifically, what would you like us to do so we can, again, take the appropriate path? I agree completely with our council. And I'm sorry, I have a little bit of a cold, so I know it's tough, but you know, I agree with our council that if we're going to beef up the ordinance, you know, if we're going to actually be specific, we're probably going to have to reopen the ordinance again. But what is it that you would ask us specifically to try to do?
What I would ask, if I had one thing to ask you, is that if somebody does not put something on their work card application that they have forgotten, just the allowance of us to be able to reapply, because it seems that the $72 is enough of a fine to accidentally forget to put something on your record. When you have to repay that and lose a day of work or two, or what you have to do to get that done, I believe that's fine. A fine that is reasonable, instead of having to stop for 2 weeks or even a month if we can't get to a commission hearing to have these things heard. If it's something that was left off an application that absolutely denies them from being able to have a work card, then I understand, and they should be denied that work card. But for things that are not of a nature that would deny them from a work card, I would ask that we are just allowed to reapply.
I've tried to stay out of this one as much as I can. I guess, again, I would ask, and maybe we just need to staff this and counsel it, and we'll work on it and bring it back. But, you know, can there be a modicum of meeting partway where we can take a second app or a third app even, but sooner or later, you know, it would strike me. I've been told by some of you folks at the brothel that you even maintain records and should be double-checking these applications to make sure, you know, that they're compliant before they even get into our system. I mean, I don't want to be argumentative on either side. I don't have a dog in the hunt at all.
Sure.
But, you know, sooner or later, $72 or not, penalty or not, you know, of which, by the way, most, if not all, I believe is exactly what the state charges us to run those every time. So it's not like the county's, you know, reaping profits either. But sooner or later, would you be open to finding a certain level? You know, we'll give you a second strike, you know, perhaps a third. I mean, I get particularly, and I'm not going to bring age into it, but, you know, I mean, I'm old, and I can remember how many times I was arrested in life. And sooner or later, particularly if it's brought out, you go have a criminal background done yourself, you know, at, you know, wherever you can have those done. I believe once upon a time, I think you guys were even providing some information relative to that. I'm not sure, Sheriff, if that's true, but, you know, if you guys would be open to some level of, yeah, at least a second pass, you know.
Not only that, I'm also open to if we had to pay a fine if somebody missed something on their application. I would not be opposed to that either.
I was just going to make an observation that my reading of the ordinance is there's no ban in it. If somebody has been refused, say, a second or third time, that's a denial, and there's still the possibility of appealing that to the board. And so I don't see that there's a ban in the ordinance. So I can see problems with multiple applications, but there is the remedy that you can appeal any denial of a work card to the board. So I see ultimately that's something that can be done. And then again, if the board is interested in us trying to work out something on what constitutes a work card that could be reapplied for. I think it's possible, but again, there's so many different possibilities that it's hard to use language to limit somebody's discretion in that case.
And in our last work session, that is something that we struggled with, and we talked about the willful omission and non-disclosures and whatnot. But, you know, everything then becomes an accident. Oh, I forgot. So there's been no lifetime bans, regardless of how many times it's said. There's no such thing as a lifetime ban. The card has been denied. The process is to appeal it to the board, and that's the only thing that's happened.
I would think that the $72 fee for that is an incentive to get it right the first time so you don't have to pay again.
Hey, Pat, can I have about 30 seconds?
Sure. Come on up to the podium.
No,
we do. We need you to get to the podium because we need you to identify yourself for the record so that the clerk can get everything on tape.
Jill, I've done this before. Huh? Roger Norman. I think we just ought to work out a little friendlier, you know? I mean, we need to have a friendlier sheriff's department to talk to these people, you know? If there's something wrong with the application, I mean, you said it. You just told us, pick up the phone, talk to us. Why don't you guys pick up the phone when you have an application, if there's something wrong, and say something to them? Did you forget that you had a drunk driving ticket 8 years ago? It's not on here. Can we put it on here? Can we make it work? Can we figure out how to make it simpler and easier for everybody, including the sheriff's department? What do you think, Sheriff?
I think we've already been more than willing to work with him. Donnie knows all he's got to do is call me. And he says he doesn't want to blow up my cell phone. I put my cell phone number on my business cards so anybody can call me on that number, and I answer it 24 hours a day. He has availed himself to that in the past. Do I need to pick up the phone every time something goes wrong down there and say, hey, guess what? Then I pick up the phone if you're speeding and say, hey, Mr. Norman, guess what? I pick up the phone every time somebody does something wrong. I'm supposed to be enforcing this stuff. I'm supposed to be regulating this stuff. It becomes incumbent upon them to make sure their stuff is correct at some point.
Then you see a problem. Why don't you call Donnie?
Donnie knows he has to phone. All he has to do is call me. If he gets a letter and he says, I don't understand this, all he's got to do is pick up the phone and say, hey, Gary, what's going on with this one? And on a couple of occasions that he has, we've come to an understanding and been able to resolve those issues. Have we not?
Some of them, yes, sir.
So you're saying that when you have the applications, you go to Donnie, you don't talk to the people that are putting in the application. You just go to Donnie.
That streamlines
things. Maybe we should all get together and talk and see if we can't streamline it even better.
That's actually
because you got people that want to go to work.
Something actually I believe that has evolved out of contact with the Bottle. I know one time we were trying to work directly with one of the denials, and there was all kinds of hell raised over that because family didn't know or family didn't want to be involved or, you know. So I believe there's been conversations with Tara and Donnie both about the brothel being the management, being the go-between.
Okay, are we going to issue these people some licenses today?
We haven't even got for those yet.
No?
That's next up.
Question for the sheriff. Is there a way that Donnie could get a hold of the criminal background check or report from you, or
no?
You
know, cannot get it from
you. Can you get it in advance so they can see what
they're
on it?
There's a number of private organizations that do those types of things, get that information. We talked about that during the review process. Again, time is money. I'm sure that's the case for everybody. If you go and apply for Donnie and you want a work card, now he's going to have to go through that process. It's going to take at least a few days to get that back, and then it's going to come to me for processing. So, again, it's a matter of time. The temporary work card is intended to try and minimize that time. It's allowing them to work as soon as we have a record of their existence, and then we depend on them to tell the truth and be honest with disclosing things. If they don't disclose on their application, then it's like any other application that you don't disclose on. You get in trouble for it. Most of the time, we work with people on it. In extreme cases, then it just becomes a denial that comes here to the court.
Would an individual like myself be able to get my own criminal background?
Yeah. Not from me, but there are entities out there.
Maybe you find somebody online that does that or something like that.
What's that?
Maybe find someone online that specializes in that or something. Is that
There are companies that do that, and you can get it by contacting the state directly. You can go to the state and get them.
Okay. I think that's kind of important, is so that they can go maybe find out about themselves, see what's on their record. I don't know. It might make it easier, you know, for trying to remember everything. Yeah.
I think somebody here said that. I'm getting ready to turn 51. I remember every arrest I've ever had.
Do you
I remember every traffic citation I've ever had.
But do you remember the date, the exact date? I don't.
I can't say the exact date, whether it was a Tuesday afternoon, but I can get it in the ballpark.
Yeah.
And we're not going to deny something just on the basis of they had the day a couple of days wrong, or even the month may be wrong.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, I think if you guys want to look at this, I don't think we can beat this horse to death any more than we already have.
Judy,
sure. Come on up. Sure.
Judy Cohen, business owner, Story County resident. Business owner of Story County. I sat here and watched the time of all the people multiply the time on this. It would seem to me that human resources, when you hire someone, should do a check before you just hire anybody off the street. And I'm just looking at this in black and white. That why wouldn't the human resources in any company check out the applicants? And I, too, I'm old. I've had one speeding ticket my whole life at 18, and that's it. I think that the word willful or not, like when I signed my 1040 for the IRS, I signed that. Oh, I forgot that I made twice as much money. Oh, but in cash. Okay, that's how I see it. So I think if human resources does their homework, instruct the potential employees how to fill that out, we wouldn't spend hours on this, because I heard about this in another commissioner's meeting, going through the whole board and blah, 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 blah. My recommendation for whomever, to whichever company, instruct your employees how to fill out the forms.
Thank you. Any other public comment? I don't know what action there is to take on this other than to direct staff to talk to council and the sheriff and see if there's a way of tweaking the application or something like that. I mean,
that would be me. And as long as we're inclusive of including the brothel, I'm certainly willing to accept that responsibility.
Do we need to make a motion?
Yeah.
To direct staff to look at the county brothel code related to
workers' applications.
Work card applications.
Yeah.
Commissioner McGuffey, if I might, could I ask you to amend slightly to not only look at the code, but to look at the process, because we may be able to tweak the process without opening yet again the code, which requires publications, two meetings. We get into the slippery slopes that we were at before. So if we can amend that to include not only the ordinance, but also the process, perhaps we can find a solution.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to adjust or amend the brothel-related work card application. Got a second?
Inclusive of the brothel, yes. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second. To direct staff to follow up on this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, now we're going to move along now to item number 17. This is discussion.
Hold on, and this will be, again, up to both Donnie, who has requested all three items, I believe, and you guys, but I believe there's been a request to hear 17 and 18 and 19 as a combined package. Is that correct?
Any objection, Sheriff?
I don't care.
Okay. All right, then. We will hear items 17, 18, and 19. This is appeal for work card submitted by Carmen G. Rivera, Marisha Nolan, Stephen Jim, Stephen Jim, Stephen Jim, Don Gilman.
Again, Don Gilman, license manager of Mustang Ranch. I'm going to have Tara step up here and discuss the issue that we're having with this particular work card.
So Carmen Rivera started with us in 2014, had a work card. It was revoked for failure to disclose criminal acts. She reapplied. Since then, has been a great independent contractor with the Mustang with no problems. She's a responsible, hard worker. She has put herself through school, paid off all her schooling. She just graduated in marketing. So then she had to reapply this year in 2015 and had it revoked again for failure to disclose all her convictions. She had a very rocky past, and she'll be honest with you about that. She's 9 months sober now. Her actual convictions are all the way back to 2007. Nothing that would hold anything over her head from getting a work card was Story County. So there's only four actual convictions, and they're DUIs. One's reckless driving. And so we asked for her to get her work card today.
So when the application was incomplete, is that, or was there an arrest between the last application and the most current application?
I don't believe so. I think it was just for not disclosing all criminal conduct, is what the letter said.
Okay, so when she received her work permit last year, the background check didn't show?
It did, and then it was a different list. And I have both of those lists from 2014, and they're just two completely different lists. And so, like I said, back then it was more or less the DUIs and drinking and DUIs. So she had a foggy memory of everything, and she will admit that. So whereas now she knows everything and has records of everything.
But again, nothing on her record at this point would deny her from a work card.
Nothing.
Except that she just failed to put these on her application.
Put them all on there.
Okay. Sheriff?
Well, just to recap, and Tara's pretty well correct, in 2014, Ms. Rivera applied listing one arrest on her application. The temporary card was revoked. We sent a letter saying what the five arrests were. She reapplied listing all five arrests, was granted a card, then came in for renewal this year, only listing three arrests when she just did it a year ago. She had a list from us a year ago. We submit everything for background check. Now there's 11 arrests, only three of which were listed. I don't have the actual criminal history with me, so I don't know what resulted in convictions and what did not. However, yes, it was incomplete applications, failure to disclose, and it is a continuing process. So it's one of those things where the card was denied, and she comes to you for it. If she's clean and sober now, great. All I ask is that the applications be submitted completely. And in this instance, where she had a complete list of what her offenses were a year ago, and I believe that this is one case where Donnie and I spoke of where they had the brothel should have also had a list from a year ago. So, you know, it gets old having to redo these over and over and over and over. So,
can you explain why you didn't just basically copy the one you had?
Actually, I thought that I did. That from the list that I was given from 2014, I thought that I did go by that because I wrote it down. But the one for this year brought up other stuff, older stuff, like one when I was like 16, and it's just stuff that I completely forgot about. My memory was really foggy. It's all alcohol-related stuff, and it was just a different list. So it just went further and further back.
Would you have supplied her with a copy of that you had on file?
So we do give them their file and the arrests, and the one in 14 again had certain arrests on there. The one she got in 2015 had more arrests in there, again dating all the way back to when she was a minor, which is where I was asking for your help on the minor issues. And so those really shouldn't even have had to be disclosed on this particular application.
Right. So any idea why her juvenile record would come up on this?
Like I said, I don't have her specific history with me, so I can't speak knowledgeably of it. All I can tell you is that we went from one arrest being listed to there actually being five, and from three being listed to there actually being 11.
And so were the other four, were they all prior dates to the seven that were listed originally?
No, I'm sure that the original charges would have all been listed on there. Also.
We have a list to share with you if you'd like.
They were all previously. It's all the way back to 91.
So, how many times? She's applied three times now?
Let's see. This would actually be three, because there was the application, then the work card was revoked, reapplied, issued, then reapplied, and again, revoked.
Has she had to pay the $72 each time?
As far as I know.
Yes, she has.
You paid $210, $15 or something like that?
Okay. Very interesting. Does anybody have any public comment on this before we go further? Okay, here now. So, Sheriff, I asked Donnie first. So, Donnie, can you attest that this individual is clean and sober now?
Yes, sir.
They can perform the duties there in a drug-free environment? Right?
Yes, sir.
So, I'd ask the sheriff now, since we've gone through this process, we've got the message, we've all got the message in this room that you want these people to fill out their applications in full correctly the first time around, or even the second time around. Now we're here, so are you satisfied with the explanation that's been brought forward?
Well, it's an explanation.
Okay, well then would you recommend approval or denial of the applicant's appeal for the work card verification?
In this instance, I don't know if I'm in a position to say approve or deny, but I will entertain whatever the board's decision is.
Okay.
Does this applicant still need to apply or to correct the board?
I think the sheriff is part of the board, so he gets to vote.
But the question is there a, what's the required vote? Vote of the quorum of the board or a quorum of the voting members of the board?
It's the board that's present.
Okay, so it's going to take a 3-0 vote?
No, 2-0.
Okay, 2-0 out of 4 for 4?
No, there are 3 people here.
Okay.
I guess so it's a majority of the people in here.
For clarification, I am not comfortable with making a motion one way or another, so if there is a
motion. I wasn't looking to make a motion, so that's your recommendation whether we should approve or deny the applicant.
Right, but being a voting member of the board, I don't know if making a recommendation would be proper or not.
I'd like to weigh in here again on the legal issue. So it appears to me that she had 5 arrests, and then the next time the criminal history comes out, there's 11 arrests. If I'm hearing everybody correctly, you're saying that the 6 new arrests were actually from her juvenile history?
From 91 that had popped back up on this application one.
Juvenile
that wasn't on history. 2014.
Not all of them were juvenile history, but they did come up in the second round of running her background, which they did not show up the first time they ran the background. But they were all older than the first 5 we received.
How many of them were juvenile?
I think she's one, right? 91, she was a juvenile, and then there's a 98 and a 99.
I don't know how old she is, so does that make her?
91, she would have been a juvenile.
All right, so out of the 6 new ones that showed up on the criminal history, only one is a juvenile record, and I would not have the board consider that. The other 5, go with how you feel. But based on that evidence, I would say based on the fact that juvenile matter is quasi-criminal, that I would not consider that, but the 5 other ones can be considered.
But what I might like to consider is that she still has yet to supply a complete application. Is that correct?
That's when we tried to submit was turned away.
Because she was already referred to the board for review in accordance with the ordinance.
Okay. But she hasn't to this date, she hasn't supplied you with a completed application or questionnaire?
Correct. A completely disclosed.
But that's because it was refused, right?
Well, it was a denial.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And what's the time frame being done?
What's that?
Well, how long has she been clean?
9 months.
9 months.
Okay.
I might like to recommend that she reapply with a complete application and questionnaire. I think we could waive the $72. But this would be the end of the line. It's got to be a complete. And then it would still be to the sheriff's discretion.
If I may, the money that is paid, as pointed out by County Manager Witten, that covers the cost that we are charged from the state. Yeah. That's state and FBI charges. Those are not monies that Story County gains.
Would you be opposed to waiving the fee, or she's paid 3 times now?
Well, they have to pay every year because they have to go through this every year for background. So, mm-hmm.
But she's already paid 3 times already.
Well, I know, but it's not at the county. It's, you know, okay. Yeah. The state's the one that's collecting the fee.
Then I have to take that back.
Yeah.
It's coming out of our pocket.
Yeah.
Okay.
She'll pay it.
But I don't have a problem with giving you one last shot of getting it right. You've got all the criminal background stuff information with you now.
So
So, but again, it's still the sheriff's discretion. And that's his job. I'm not going to override his decision. All right?
Okay. So that's your motion?
Yes.
To approve work art for Carmen Rivera? Can I get a second on this? I'll second your motion. It's been moved in second to approve the work art submitted by Carmen C. G. Rivera. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Can I have a moment before you vote?
Sure.
Just for clarification's sake, is this approval of a work card or is this authorizing her to reapply?
It's
because there's a difference.
It's a reapply because we can't authorize a work card because it hasn't gone through the process. She still has to go through the process, fill it out, submit everything to your office, and everything better be T's crossed, I's dotted, semicolons in place.
Just wanted clarification.
It's clarified, yeah. Okay. I have a motion. I have a second. I'll second the motion. We moved in second to approve her reapplying. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are you an aye?
Yes.
Unanimous. Okay. You're from the department.
Okay, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your time.
I'm going to suggest that you keep a copy of your most latest week and put it in your purse so you don't.
Definitely.
You file another one next year?
I will, for sure.
Okay. Save you a trip to the courthouse here. Okay. Next up, is it Marisha Nolan?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So Marisha Nolan was hired back in 2011, has been with us since then, in and out. This job allows her to take care of her three kids. She's got a 14-year-old, 8-year-old, 23-month-year-old. 2015, she went to reapply. She just came back and was revoked for failure to disclose criminal acts once again and was told she was banned for life now from getting a work card. She has no arrests on her record that would deny her to get a work card through Story County. And the arrest that actually did show up on the sheriff's paper was when she was 17 years old. So we're asking for her work card back as well.
Okay. So because of an omission from a juvenile record?
Yes. And I've got copies of that as well.
Was it
like
criminal activity that it was deemed as an adult?
Were you deemed as an adult?
I don't think so.
Okay.
She had one that was a conviction. That was back in 2000, which was a liquor law violation, but she was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what came up. Everything else was disclosed on her record. It was recent.
Okay.
Were you tried as an adult?
I don't remember. That was...
legally to be certified from an... a juvenile to an adult, number one, you generally have a very extensive history. Number two, it's going to be a very, very serious crime to get you into the adult system as a juvenile. If she's saying that it's minor in possession, that would not be a case that would be where you would be certified as an adult. There would have to be much more behind it under arrest, 7 minors.
Okay.
That's the name of the case.
Well, again, there's more to the story than what you're being told. The initial application was made in 2011. It was denied because there had been a shoplifting conviction within a year of that application. She was issued a work card later that year, later that same year after the one-year mark had passed. 2013, there was an application submitted that didn't list everything in the history. 2014, last year, we should have been here last year because it should have never been approved last year, only because there was only a single arrest listed when there were multiples. And unfortunately, the way the system works, employees change over, and the ladies that I have running the office now are much more diligent in doing their jobs. So, yes, this is multiple years of, again, failing to disclose everything that's supposed to be disclosed, and it is not involving juvenile records.
You said there's a conviction within a year prior to the 2011?
That was back in 2011, excuse me. That was why the initial one was denied, was because of the shoplifting.
And what is the time frame for something like that to deny? Is it 2 years or before an application, their last conviction? What would you consider there?
I don't know if I have a questionnaire with me here. That you have the questionnaire with you, Donnie?
I believe it's one year.
Which it was. It would have been 4 months after the initial denial in 2011. She did reapply. It was past the 1 year mark, so she was issued a card in 2011. But then, let's say, as each subsequent application, again, failure to disclose previous criminal conduct.
Okay, so we should have been here last year because there was an omission on last year's renewal. And so is this a duplicate for this year, then? It'd be the same omission than there was last year?
Multiple admissions. There was a singular arrest listed on the application this year, when in fact there's multiple arrests and convictions.
Of those admitted, or included, were any of them disqualified other than three omissions?
I think we're past the time periods on any of the disqualifiers. Just double checking that. Yes. We're past the time limit on those.
So the letter we got on August 11, 2015 from the sheriff only states her arrest in 2000, the three that were in there, and then one from January 2013, which was disclosed and dismissed. And the ones from 2000 were all one arrest, but three charges, and that's when she was younger. This is the letter we got from the sheriff, so we could do a correct one.
But again, this is as she was a minor, correct, on that particular
one? Yeah, in 2000. Yes.
And when was Ms. Nolan's last involvement with law enforcement? In law activity?
2013. And that was disclosed and dismissed.
Okay. Yeah, 2013 is the last. No, it was domestic violence, disorderly conduct.
Questions on this, Mr. McGuffey?
Ms. Dolan, how long have you been in Nevada?
I still travel back to Wisconsin. That's where I'm from.
Where?
I still live in Wisconsin.
She travels.
I travel. Yes.
Are you down here to work?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
Let's see if our legal counsel wants to weigh in on this.
I don't know if it's a legal opinion as much as it is a personal opinion that doesn't really put place here. So I think you have all the information you need to make a decision on what you think about it. So I think my opinion in this case, after talking to Mr. Morris, is more personal than legal, so I will not weigh in.
I'm going to follow Commissioner McGuffey's recommendation on the last applicant with this, is to go forward and give you an opportunity to reapply for your work permit once again, this is the last bite of the apple. And I think we're going to have to get things more in place down at the brothel for having records kept. Your employees have to know how many times they're going to arrest it. You know, when, where, and what for.
But her one record was disclosed. The other three charges are when she was a minor.
The only denial she had was because of the minor issue.
Correct. This year, right now.
It says it's a normal application for a normal work card, and that where brothels, gaming, and liquor are all privileged licenses. And so the rules are greater and more in depth. I'll go back to gaming one more time. When you apply for your gaming license, you put down everything that's happened to you since the day you were born. And if you omit it, you're going to be denied. So, any public comment on this applicant? Hearing none, I'll make the motion we approve Ms. Nolan to go ahead and to reapply with the sheriff for work card.
Second
that
motion.
Motion and a second to approve. Ms. Nolan, any other comment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. All right.
If I may, can I just say thank you very much for your time as well?
You're welcome. Take your application, make a photocopy, put it in your purse. All right, item number 19 now, appeal for the work card for Stephen Jim, submitted by Don Gilman. Okay.
All right, this is Stephen. He was hired back in 2012. His work card was pulled as well for not disclosing all his criminal convictions. Now, his charges were down at the Pyramid Tribal where he lives.
Yes.
So now, he was under the impression that he did not have to disclose those because of all of these were on tribal grounds.
True. Sovereign nation.
So, Steve has been a really good employee with us. He's never late for work.
Yes.
And this is his first denial. He's an awesome employee and an amazing chef. So we're hoping to get his work card back as well.
So he had the initial work card, and then this would be the third renewal. Are these renewed annually as well?
Yes, every year.
Okay.
And these charges never showed up on his record for the past 3 years. These are all 15 years or older charges.
Yep.
But this year they have popped up again, which is why he did not realize he had to
disclose them on the application.
Did the state just start something new with sharing information with BIA? Or?
No, I don't think so. I think probably more has to do with my past employees. But, yes, this is another case, and Mr. Jim is in a little bit different classification since he's working in the kitchen, and they are quite dated. But this is one of those things where, based on what he listed on his application versus what there actually is, the card should have never been approved in 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. And actually to get the disposition, because the arrests were reported, so they have been on his criminal history all along. Problem being is that, and this does happen in dealing with tribal courts and even other states, is that not everybody is good at reporting what the outcome is, what the status of those cases are, convictions or otherwise. I believe what's happened is in the past, it being that it came from the tribal court, it was an unknown disposition, so my staff just passed it through not wanting to bother with it. Well, my change in staff, the diligent individuals that I have working there now, they don't cut corners or anything, and they made a point of getting to the bottom of it. And, yes, saying these all have been reported for years. The card should have never been issued, and now we just happen to have the disposition information also. So
Are the severity of any of these arrests preclude him from receiving a work permit?
Let's double check on one real quick. But I don't believe that.
I don't think their officers are older than 10 years as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, the only one would have been, it is 15 years, so it's outside that 10-year window. So.
Okay.
I fell through the cracks. Commissioner McGuffey?
Yeah, you know, as a former justice of the peace, I kind of learned a few things about the tribal thing. Is sometimes they can be arrested, then once they're bailed out, they run back to their reservation, and you can't touch them.
Well, that's a whole other matter. It has nothing to do with criminal reporting. That's a matter of extradition.
It's still reported, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I just kind of shared some little...
Okay.
My background.
This being a little bit different than the other two, I would make a motion to approve the work card of Mr. Jim, not the reapplication, but the work card.
I agree with you. He's been a good citizen for a long time now, so I have no problem.
Okay, before we vote, though, I'm going to call for public comment.
I'm going to weigh in just on one thing.
Okay, you go first, and then we'll bring Nicole up. She's got her hand up in the back.
Thank you.
Chris has got his hand up.
And I'd ask again if, you know, if the sheriff agrees and the remainder of the licensing board agree. I would say again, conditioned on future applications, disclosing all.
Everything. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, Nicole, you're next.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. My comment isn't about this particular individual, but I have to make my comments on an agenda item during an agenda item, so that's what I'm going to do. My question, I have a question first. Sheriff, you had mentioned at the beginning before this started at what number of hours or what percent of your time your office spends in doing brothel activities. What was that again?
Of three administrative staff, combined total of about 40%. So you're looking at a little over 2,000 hours a year.
Okay. And the other thing that you mentioned, you stated how many brothel applications or questionnaires you processed, and I got 23 were denied, and then 8 came back and were accepted. What was the first number? 23 out of how many?
142, if I remember correctly.
Okay. I'm basically going to make comments as a taxpayer. What I'm hearing here today is if this were, I guess it is a for-profit business, but the amount and level of rework regarding these applications and the burden that it puts on our county that is reflected in the amount of taxpayer dollars being spent to fix problems is an outrage. Why are my tax dollars going to fix and continually fix and refix and fix and fix a problem that seemingly never gets corrected? We have a lack of clarity, apparently, on what's required information on applications for questionnaires. We've got a lack of understanding by the applicants who, even if they, seems to me, based on what I'm hearing, even if the application were clear as day, seem to frequently forget, omit, and just don't fill it out correctly, requiring rework on the part of the county. We have a lack of quality control on the part of the brothel itself, who has something to gain by making sure those applications are complete so that they get passed. That's not happening, again, requiring rework on the part of our county, to which my tax dollars support. So that's a problem. And then apparently, because the applicant can't seem to remember what they were arrested for, when they were arrested, whether it was juvenile or not, have to rely on any number of public sources, not government, to get those records, there's a lack of consistency there. It all equals to taxpayer dollars being spent on stuff that is eating up time that could be spent in other areas. And this apparently has been going on for quite some time. I just hope that with today's over 1 hour of discussion of details of why applications aren't filled out correctly, of the work that needs to be done, who's on first, what, that this gets solved. This is, Amitak, this is my money being spent going down the toilet fixing other people's problems. Both sides need to fix this. This is an outrage. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
I wouldn't lose sight on the fact that they're paying a fee to the county, and so that it's not taxpayer money. And then this is a business. This is a company that pays lots of taxes to the county as well.
Thank you. Any other comments? Anybody else want to weigh in? Hearing none. All right. So the sheriff recommended that we approve Work Hard for Steve and Jim. Actually, did you make the motion?
Yes, I did.
The sheriff made the motion, so I need a second on that.
Now, this is to approve the Work Hard.
Yes, to approve the Work Hard, yes.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
Okay. It's been moved and second to go ahead and approve the appeal for the Work Hard for Steve and Jim. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
My God.
Lucky.
Countdown. We only have a couple of items left for you. It's so patient. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to move along now to community development planning. Item 21 is discussion and possible action, variance 2015-029 by Hanson, Allen, and Luce, Incorporated. Attention, Vern Condor, representing Refuse Incorporated. The applicant requests a variance for reduced setback to 3 feet from the required 50 feet setback for the placement of a proposed well house on the property located at 2700 East Mustang Road, Mustang, Story County, Nevada, APN 004-111-20. Jason.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Jason Van Havel with Story County Planning. The applicant is representing Refuge Inc., which is also known as the Lockwood Landfill. What they would like to do is upgrade an existing well house for a well that services their property. The well is legal at the north end of one of their parcels. On page 3 of the staff report is an area map that can shows the particular parcel in question in the context of Lockwood and Mustang in the area. The well itself is at the north end of the property near the middle of it. And then on page 4 of the staff report, there's a map zoomed in closer to the area. You can see from the area map that the properties in that area are generally industrial in use. The particular area where the well is located is a small finger that protrudes out to the north from the subject property, and that little finger sticking out is to retain the well onto the subject property. Also, as a follow-up to the uses of the land in the area are generally industrial, but not all industrial, but generally, notices were sent out to all of the landowners in the area, and there was no public comment back from those landowners. On page 5 of the staff report, at the top you have a schematic drawing of what the proposed well house is going to look like on the edge of the property. If you look closely at that schematic, near the middle of the house that's drawn, you'll see a diagonal rectangular box. It's a bit smaller than the proposed new well house. That diagonal rectangular box is the existing well house over the top of the existing well. That existing wellhouse is non-conforming as it is, in that it doesn't conform to the required setbacks. However, it is legal in that the wellhouse was in place before the setbacks were adopted as zoning. So the requested new wellhouse is going to continue to encroach on the setback from the requirement. The applicant would like to upgrade the well and get more use out of that legal water to be more efficient with utilizing the resources of the county. In summary, the Planning Commission heard this application and approved it. There's a representative from the applicant here today to answer any questions that you may have, and staff's recommendation is for approval of this variance.
Very good. Commissioners, do you have any questions for Jason or from the applicant?
I note that it was unanimously approved by the Planning Commission as well.
Yes.
Can I have a comment?
Is there any public comment?
Yes, I do.
You're not public.
Okay.
No, you can. You can do this now.
Could we ask the applicant to come to the podium? This is spontaneous and unplanned, so I apologize. Otherwise, I would have given you the courtesy of a warning. As the county manager, I'm going to go ahead and recommend we follow the recommendations of the Planning Commission and approve it. But I'd like you to send a loud and strong message back to senior management. Okay? Throughout the tenure of our franchise agreement with Waste Management, specifically for the landfill, but also for refuse collection as well, we continue to hit rough spots, items that weren't addressed. Recently, Mr. Martinelli communicated with me, we probably need to readdress the size of dumpster box services out at the Tri-Center because they're not using what was called for in terms of 20-yard or 40-yard. They're using 30-yard or something like that. I'm more than willing to work with stuff like that, but that needs to be a two-way street, and that's meant to be the emphasis on my message here. We recently changed processes with sewage sludge coming out of the plant, and your general manager, not of Waste Management here, not Mr. Martinelli, but I'm going to draw a total blank with Chris, I believe, your landfill manager, has taken the stance that says, okay, that's going to cost you what I consider to be a very high amount for something that we've either never paid before and what other similar local governments are paying at a much reduced rate. So I ask again that you take the spirit of whatever this commission decides today as a whole, you know, back to Chris and also definitely to Greg, and you say we need to open dialogues on a lot of fronts. Annual trash days has turned into a bureaucratic nightmare for us because we should have addressed it in the refuse pickup, and we didn't.
Do you mind if I write? Make a couple notes here?
Yes, and I'll be happy to give you a card, but we need to open up this discussion, understanding that cooperation is a two-way street.
Absolutely, and that's the position of the company, and if it hasn't seemed that way, then we will fix it.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? I attended the Planning Commission meeting, as I think I recall Commissioner McGuffey also did, so I'm very aware of the applicants, what they want to do out there. And so with that being said, unless there's any objections from the commissioners, I'll ask Jason to read the findings for a motion for approval.
Thank you, Jason Van Abel, for the record. The findings for the motion of approval. That because of special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including shape, size, topography, or location of surroundings, the strict application of the zoning ordinance would deprive the subject property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity under the identical zone classification, and that the granting of this variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights of the applicant, and that granting of this variance will not, under circumstances of this particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons residing or working in the area of the subject property and will not materially be detrimental to the public welfare or material injurious or to property or improvements in the area of the subject property. And the proposed variance is in compliance with all federal, Nevada, state, and Story County regulations. And the proposed variance is in compliance with Story County Code 17.03.140 variances and 17.35 heavy industrial when all conditions of approval are met. And the variance is in compliance with and supports the goals, objectives, and recommendations of the Story County Master Plan.
Very good. Thank you, Jason. That being said, call for a motion. I'll pass my page there. To approve this variance, 2015-029.
I'll make a motion to approve the variance, 2015-029, by Hanson Allen and Luce, Inc. Attention, Vern Condor, representing Refuse, Inc. The applicant requests a variance for the reduced setback to 3 feet from the required 50-feet setback for the placement of a proposed well house on the property located at 2700 East Mustang Road, Mustang, Story County, Nevada, APN 004-111-20.
I'll second that motion.
It's moved and seconded to approve variance 2015-029. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion is unanimous.
Thank you.
All right, moving along now. Item number 22 and 23 have been continued until October the 20th, 10 a.m. in this room. So we'll move on now to item number 24. This is possible action. Excuse me. Licensing Board second readings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Community Development, they are recommending continuation of items H, I, and J as they appear on your agenda today. That is Buy Nutraceuticals, Inc., A-Z Truck Marine and RV, and Rich Doss, Inc., all to be continued.
All right. Can I have a motion to continue H, I, and J?
I so motion.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded to continue H, I, and J. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. And Community Development recommends approval of the following licenses listed as items A through G inclusive. That would be A, America Mining and Tunneling, LLC. B, P&L Fencing and Iron, LLC. C, Crop Production Services, Inc. D, Soil Tech, Inc. E, Gardner Refrigeration and Manufacturing. F, Neil Adams Construction, Inc. And G, Brycon Corporation, all to be approved.
All right. I have a motion to approve A through G inclusive.
Also motion.
I'll second that motion.
Move the second to approve A through G. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 25, public comment. Sheriff Antonaro.
Just returning back to the liquor licensing issue for a moment for my own edification. We've talked about reviewing or revisiting brothel ordinance issues. I would ask that you find gentlemen direct staff to re-examine the liquor licensing ordinance so that we can clarify standards in there, because as it stands right now, the direction I take away from today's meeting is that I shall investigate any potential future applicants for liquor licenses to the level that gaming investigates somebody. And if that is not the case, then we need to clarify what is the standard. So that would be my request.
Very good. Thank you.
May I ask what level of your background checks
basically what it says in the ordinance. We make sure they're not a convicted felon, they're not a drug dealer, they're not ties to organized crime, and that they have some semblance of financial order that they can continue on with their business. Because like I said during the earlier instance, there are other license holders of liquor licenses in Story County that have some of those same problems. Like I explained, gaming has a standard where they want to see somebody's finances at this level, and we've never held it to that high of a standard. But I take it from the actions today, that's where we want it, which, if that is the case, as Commissioner McBride knows, it's hard to get through a gaming background. How many liquor licenses do you think we're going to be issuing in the future? So we need to have clear expectations for both the level of investigation you want conducted and so the applicant fairly knows what to expect.
Can I comment?
Sure.
If staff's recommendation was any basis for your consideration, you know, I want the record to be very clear that I'm not basing it on the fact that we should hold individual applicants to exactly the same scrutiny and process as gaming does. My recommendation was made simply on the facts that we were aware of the results of the gaming investigation and background. We had documented observations of that, and therefore we could not nor should not ignore that particular information at hand.
And not being argumentative or trying to kick over a can of worms or anything, but there have been past applicants. We've also been aware of tax liens and lawsuits and judgments and financial issues and other regulatory agencies or other regulatory oversight problems. So, again, the only thing I can equate it to is we're looking at that higher standard because we have approved licenses in this very room for other applicants where there have been those other issues.
I was just going to mention, not to argue or anything, I think it was very clear that the board was given the legal standard out of the liquor license ordinance as to having the ability to carry out a successful business. They have the financial standing, basically, to do that. And I think the board took that advice and used that in their decision. I think what you're talking about is the evidence that came from the hearing in front of gaming. And I think, as Mr. Witten said, that was available for the board to use in making their decision, but the standard is the standard that's in the code, and I think is the one that should have been used all along in the approval of liquor licenses.
Okay, and that's, but again, for clarification on my part, we have sat in this very room and approved licenses where some of those same financial concerns were known by the board when the license was approved, but yet the license was approved without near the pomp and circumstances there was today.
I might chime in on this, but I don't think since I've been on the board we've had that come up, and we haven't had anything that involved a multi-million dollar deal either.
No, I can't say it's been since you've been on the board, but I...
So there's a whole lot more moving parts around this one.
I understand, but in all fairness, we need to clarify the ordinance.
I'm not disagreeing.
We have much more clear brothel ordinance, but yet we're going to go back in because of a few issues with work cards that the ordinance was followed on.
Right.
We should clarify the liquor ordinance.
Okay.
And I would say I agree with that. Having gone through it in preparation for this meeting, I think that's a... it's something that would be a high priority for this board to see gets done.
And I would agree as well.
And you know who lives on the board.
Thank you.
All right, very good.
You know, I think Steph's got the message. We're already conversing with council on this. Yeah.
Any other public comment today?
He needs adjourned.